Good evening and welcome to Slam the Gavel, the show that tells us all regarding family court, other court issues, as well as CPS. I am your host, Marianne Petry. This episode of Slam the Gavel is sponsored by CPS Protect Consulting Services. Child Protective Services cases are among the most frightening experiences any parent can endure. Don't face them alone. With urgent assist by CPS Protect, you get the peace of mind to raise your children as you see fit and the personalized assistance of their team of expert child welfare consultants. Former CPS investigators themselves, right when you need it. Get started absolutely free at cpsprotect.com/register, and you can find that in all 50 states. Also, go to the other site, pleasedoyourjob.com, and sign the petition. We need 2,000 more signatures to get a case reopened. That's pleasedoyourjob.com. I have a return guest on. I'm very happy to have Natalia Dalton from Fairfax, Virginia on. She was last on season 3, episode 26 and 144. And what's going on with her is she is being hauled through child support court by her ex, who's running the show like a three-ring circus. And apparently, Judge Sotelo seems to allow him to do that. So I welcome you, Natalia Dalton. How are you doing? And what happened at the last hearing?
I'm happy to be on this show. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
So what happened in the last show, in the last hearing was very unfortunate. So for the last... Since 2014, I have been trying to fix the arrears. I got some papers today, which was really interesting, from the Child Enforcement Office, saying that I attended a hearing back in 2014, which the initial administrative hearing for the child because I'm the one paying the child support, right?
Right. The father doesn't work, and he lives off another woman.
Exactly. Well, apparently now he got a new job, which you're going to hear more about now. It just started recently after, now they have three kids. So what happened is I've been asking the child enforcement to give me my FOIA request. That's my legal right to have access to what happened in my case, or like to get documents from the child enforcement office. And they've been denying it all these years. Mm. They would always say, I would go in there and say, well, Ms. Dalton, you need an attorney to give you anything. But what's really interesting is after the hearing, my caseworker calls me and says, oh, Ms. Dalton, would you like your documents? Which I found very strange, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't realize when they send me the documents, they actually sent me something. They didn't send me my whole FOIA request. They actually repeated a few of them. Of the papers, and they didn't give me everything I needed. So I'm going to have to write the caseworker again. But there's one document that says that I attended that first hearing, which is not accurate. It's not true. I even have a witness. And they actually put it in writing that Ms. Dalton was here for the initial impute of income, which is a flat out lie. I was never there. They told me about the hearing very late. I couldn't get off work. And when I tried to bring in my income for years and show them what I really made, they never took it. They always said, well, the father already gave us your income. And I was like, what? How could he give them your income? If I was doing, I was one of those independent contract jobs where, it's like a 1099. Uh-huh. So there's no way he would have known where I worked. So he gave him an old income, but it wasn't even on the amount that I ever made. He said that I made a certain amount per hour, and I worked 40 hours a week, which was never true. Mm-hmm. And so now I was able to reveal all that in this last hearing, which I got a court reporter in. So now I have it on record. All these years, I've gotten a court reporter. So, and this last hearing on the 27th, I was supposed to go in there to fix, I was supposed to show them fraud on the court from the child support and how they messed up my arrears.
Mm-hmm.
So I go into the court with this motion to fix the arrears. Well, I go in there and guess what happened? They assigned this attorney to defend the show cause. So the show cause is what the father filed asking that I go to jail for $23,000 on an income I never made. So the attorney that was appointed by the court said, "Oh, Your Honor, we're going to dismiss this show cause based on the father not submitting the document. I mean, serving Miss Dalton right," which is crazy that she would do that, because that is giving the father the opportunity to come back next week or a month from now, because she's trying to say that I filed it wrong. I mean, that he filed it wrong. So to me, that was not a strong argument. She should have said something like, "The father uses this as a leverage to keep punishing the mother. He's constantly asking in every court hearing that she go to jail." So that was the first mistake. Well, I'm happy I didn't go to jail to that day, but who knows what's going to happen a week, a month from now, because the $23,000 is still there. So when I go into court, the attorney, she thought she was doing me a favor by saying to the judge, "Well, I can represent Ms. Dalton pro bono on her motion to modify." Well, for the weeks coming, I was having a lot of issues with this attorney because she wasn't listening to me. She didn't want to talk to the judge about the arrears. She didn't want it to go on record. She only wanted to talk about future payments. She says in Northern Virginia, there's no law that helps you to fix the arrears, so therefore you're stuck with it. And I told her, "Well, in a lot of these courts, the judges has the discretion to hear it, and he feels like there's a problem." Well, this attorney, I cannot believe what she did. So here she is, saying laws in Northern Virginia, this is a Commonwealth state, on how we can't, like basically, oh, here's the judge saying, we explained all the problems in the case, and the judge realized that, yeah, there something did go wrong on the case. He admitted it on transcript. He looked to my attorney and he says, "Oh, are you saying that there is laws in Virginia where I could not, even if I wanted to fix this arrears for Miss Dalton, I can't?"
What?
"Yes, Your Honor, there is laws." So she blocked the judge from fixing it, which I thought was insanity. Why would she do that? She
Oh.
started, I mean, he was willing to kind of look over what was wrong and maybe fix it, but because she kept saying, "No, Your Honor, you cannot do anything. There's laws out there where she's not allowed to fix the arrears. Therefore, there's nothing you can do. We can only focus on the future payments," which I thought was crazy, because the whole reason I went to court was because I'm
Right.
upset over the past arrears, not the future.
I think she should lose her bar license.
Yeah, I think what she did is insane. It's crazy.
Right.
Some of my friends that were in the courtroom were like, "Oh, Natalia, you should be grateful for what she did." Well, she did get my license restricted, so now I can have a restricted license, which if we had fixed the arrears, then I would have my full license. So, I mean, everybody's like, "Oh, you should be happy that you got a restricted license." No, I wanted my full license back.
Now,
I mean,
people might ask, what does a restricted license mean?
okay, so the restricted license is, I can only drive to and from work, to the church, and to see my son because I'm still on supervised visitation for reporting abuse. It's going on, what? I'm on that until he's 18, the way it looks. But either way, I don't see my son. So, but
Well,
anyway, so I'm supposed to be able to go only to certain places.
this is terrible because Morgan versus Morgan, which came out in New York State February 2023, I believe February 1st. I know it's not federal, but that case was won because the ex was not letting the father see the kids at all. So they
Okay.
suspended the child
All
support.
right. So
And that
that's what I put, and the motion that I submitted to the court, I did that. I put that Morgan versus Morgan, and my attorney, she started attacking that whole motion that I wrote, saying, "Oh, you're quoting case laws from other states, and we can't use that in Virginia. Is that true? You can't use other case laws from other states and in one state. You can only use the case laws in that state." I mean, I don't know.
I don't
I'm
know. I mean, it sounds like she doesn't know either. I don't know what to say, but it's worth throwing it in there.
I mean, no, she's saying that I can't. No, I'm asking you if you know if that's true, because sometimes I wonder why she said the stuff she says. And she said, oh, that's another thing, Marianne. I was telling her one of our two of our strongest arguments to continue the case. I was asking this case to be continued was she wanted me to comply with the father's discovery. You know, even though I had given him all my income, all my taxes, all my everything, I've given him so many of my documents. I forward her the emails, the FedEx, everything. And she says, well, I don't like the questions you asked the father, so we're going to amend it. So
Oh.
she makes me, so she spends through, she was only on my case 1 week because it took forever to get her on the case. She was on my case for 1 month only. And so here she is saying that, well, we're going to amend yours so that you can comply with discovery. And I said, well, what about the father? I haven't gotten anything from him. Do you understand? I don't have anything from him. She goes, oh, well, that would not be appropriate to ask him for discovery. And
Uh-oh.
I'm like, I was like, why not? Why can't I ask him? You know, he's the one who's supporting my kid. He's the one who's with my kid 24. He's not even working. It's his wife. I mean, oh no, we can't get her taxes. No, we can't do that.
Oh
That's not,
no. She, you know what?
I
You,
mean,
I think you have to go back to representing yourself because she is totally screwing you over.
So she didn't want to collect any information from the father. And I told her that we needed this to present this case. And watch when I finish telling you guys what happened at the end, then you're going to realize, yes, we did need discovery because the father got away with submitting a discovery that should have never been allowed in. I never even saw his W-2, and he submitted at the last minute. And they used that to impute my income. I mean, and I never even saw the document. So anyway, so going back, so discovery was an issue. And then the other thing was, oh shoot, there was two things. Oh my goodness.
I know, I'm so sorry.
No, it's all right. I also don't want to run out of time.
It's okay.
No, so there
The
was
license.
discovery, huh?
That your registered license, restricted license.
We did the license. So yeah, it was discovery, and the other problem was, trying to remember what the other issue was. Well, anyways, I probably will remember as we go.
Okay.
So not submitting with discovery was a problem because we didn't know any of his income. So she was like, "Don't worry about it. We'll use the highest amount he made back in the past." Oh, really? So we can go in the past to 2015 and use his income, but we can't fix the arrears from the past. I mean, how unjust is that? So when it was convenient for her to use the past, she would use it. But then when it wasn't, she didn't. And I even asked her in some of our meetings, "Are you working for me or are you working for the attorney? I mean, for the father?" Because I mean, the fact that we couldn't get discovery from him, I didn't feel like we were prepared for this court. So yeah, so we couldn't get the discovery from the father. And then I told her that child enforcement was not giving me the information either, that they said I needed a lawyer. And she's like, oh, well, you don't need the information from child support because this is not a fraud case. You don't have enough evidence. Excuse me? I have a lot of proof here. But she goes, well, we can't do that. So guess what this attorney did in the hearing? I
Oh my God.
couldn't believe it. Towards the end of the hearing, she told the judge, Ms. Dalton wants to say her concerns about fraud and how she wants us to have the child enforcement be audited based on what they imputed in her income, right? But we're not going to let this go on record. She actually said that out loud. We're not going to let this go on record, Your Honor. I just want to let you know that there is confidentiality out there and child support, and therefore, I want it to go on record that she is not allowed to ask child enforcement for what happened in the past. Due to confidentiality, they are not to give her anything. Can you believe she did that to me? I was so mad when I left the courtroom. I said that she betrayed me and set me up to never be able to defend my case.
And this is what we're dealing with, people who are listening.
Yeah, and then another thing that she did was so the father at the last, remember how I told you the last minute he submits his W-2s? Here she is doing my W-2s again to the father and to the judge and everything. And when it comes to his W-2, she didn't even show it to me. She just told the judge, "Oh, yeah, I see the W-2 here, and it says that he worked from July to December. So this is only half of the year's taxes." So they imputed it on from July to December. So what about from like a whole year of taxes? So they took the lowest amount from him to impute to make me a new thing. And then even though I had expressed a lot of, because remember I had shared with you that I had some challenges in school and learning issues, right? The judge says, "Well, I see the errors in Ms. Dalton's case, where I can say there's really not much I can do, but I'm not going to gear away from the guidelines. So she's got to pay whatever anybody else has got to pay, and I'll knock it down to about 200. That's it." I mean, yeah, they knocked it down to 200 going forward, but it and then oh, and she's still got to pay 65% of all her salary towards her arrears. And she's still, and I'm still stuck with the $21,000 in arrears. So,
What was the
that's
child
basically.
support before? What was the amount per month before?
It was $395 plus $50 in arrears. Now they made it about, I think it's like 120 plus 65 in arrears. Is what they're doing now. But yeah, I mean, I guess people can say, yeah, well, you got something good out of it, but
Not by much.
it's not really something good if that's for future payments. What about the arrears? I'm stuck with that.
Right. At a hearing you never even attended.
At a hearing I never even attended. That's the sad part. So at the end of the hearing, I said, I spoke because this attorney, she wasn't gonna tell the judge, and I said, and that's when she said, we're gonna, Miss Dalton wants to speak, but this is gonna go off record. And I was like, well, I believe there's fraud in this case, and I think that the child support should be audited. And then she had the nerve to say to the judge, well, I don't think Miss Dalton understands what audit means. And there's evidence here to even though yes there is a mess up in the amount, but she could have appealed it and she could have done something in the past. And I kept telling this attorney, I did everything for years. No judge has listened to me in the court. No, the Child Enforcement Office had never accepted my appeals. I was basically taken advantage of all these years.
Right. And the father feels he doesn't have to answer any of your discovery.
Yeah, the fact that he got away with that, the fact that he got away with submitting his W-2 at the last minute. So what is the point of discovery? They said discovery is due before the hearing and everybody should see each other's income before they enter the court. But then he puts it right on, he sent hands it over to the court right at the last minute. What is that? I mean, and I didn't even get to see the W-2. And I've been asking the attorney for the since the last hearing, could you please send me the father's W-2? And she hasn't sent me anything.
Oh no, that's not appropriate. She has to send you the W-2.
I don't know, Marianne. I just feel like if it's not the custody court in Alexandria, it's the Fairfax courts here and Fairfax. I just feel like I don't get a fair deal. I mean, I know some people might say, well, you got $200 off your child support and then you got a restricted license and you didn't go to jail. But come on, really? I mean, the way, I mean, that was all I was going to get the way that attorney defended me. She made it clear to the judge, you cannot fix the arrears. And she made it clear on record that there's nothing you can do, Your Honor, to fix it. She's basically saying, my client's stuck with that. It's not her money. What does she care? Another thing is, now I got to worry about the rest of my life. I got to pay this father $21,000 on an income I never made. What kind of justice is that?
No,
I
there is
mean,
no.
it's ridiculous. The numbers speak louder than anything. There's the clear evidence that something went majorly wrong in this case, and nobody wants to touch it. They just, and then I find out from another advocate here in Virginia that the child enforcement makes gets in, I forgot and I forgot what she said it was incentives for keeping people in arrears, like non-custodial parents in arrears.
Yep, they
They
get
get
incentives, right?
some kind of benefit from that. So
Oh,
of
yeah, they
course,
do.
nobody wants. They do, right?
Yep. It's that
So.
4D funding.
Yeah, so look, I don't know. Now I have no other choice. I think I'm going to have to appeal this because I need to somehow get it out of this court and into a higher court because I don't want to be stuck paying the father free money every. I mean, he doesn't even let me see my kid.
Right. That's why I thought you could take the Morgan versus Morgan and maybe reword it and apply it to Virginia. Somehow tailor it to Virginia and say you're getting this from New York State.
Yeah,
Because
but if you have an attorney saying that we can't take laws from outside of Virginia and use it in a Virginia court, I mean,
well,
the judge is listening more to her than me.
and he shouldn't have done that. He should be able to think for himself. He's a big boy, and she does not know how to treat a client. What she did to you, was just.
No, that's not only what she did. What she did to me in our meetings, I would want to take every time I've met over the years, because I've been in court since 2014, between custody and child support, my whole life is in court, right?
Oh.
Every time I've taken somebody to these attorney's office, even though it's client, confidentiality, that my all those attorneys have let me bring in my friends or whatever. If I'm okay with it, no, from the beginning, this attorney had said, "No way will we have you cannot bring anybody into our office. The focus is just you and I." And one of the parents said, "Well, what do you have to hide?" We thought that was weird. Why can't she bring anybody? What are you hiding here? I don't know. So from the beginning, it was already red flags, But this judge told me I'm going to assign you another attorney because oh that was another thing. Once he started, they had another guy named Jacob who was my attorney, and you'll never believe what he did.
Oh no. Oh no.
He went into the courtroom, and I had to fire him. He went into the courtroom and said, "Oh, these two parents are about to come into the courtroom to talk about complying with discovery, Your Honor." Don't even listen to the mother. She's crazy. And he didn't know that my friend was sitting in the back of the room taking notes of all this. And he filed a complaint against the bar on what he said to the judge when neither me or the father were even in the courtroom.
And this was Attorney
So,
Jacobs.
Jacob, yeah. He was one of the other attorneys that they had signed for my case.
Oh.
But I mean, and then so the judge, even though that happened and that attorney did a lot of things and I filed a bar complaint, the judge had the nerve to tell me, "Oh, Miss Dalton, I'm going to sign you another attorney to but you're not allowed to dismiss her or fire her or anything. You need to keep the attorney that I assigned to you, or I'm not going to let you have another attorney," which I don't even know if that's legal. Can a judge do that?
You know, in these courts, these lower courts, they can do whatever they want. That's what I'm finding out. I know this is not family court because it's child support, but they're doing whatever they want because that's what my judge was doing.
Anyway, so I mean, that's pretty much it in a nutshell. I mean, things could have gone better. I mean, and I don't even understand, because before I went to this court hearing, the judge even said, when I didn't even have an attorney, that if you bring back, file another motion and you sit and you can show fraud, he was acting like he was going to be able to fix it. But you know, the attorney starts throwing all these laws and how you can't do anything to help this mother. So, I want to think that this judge was somewhat decent than Kemmler, but the fact that he let her run the show and didn't, you know, he could have override her decisions. I mean, look at the other judge in Alexandria, what she's done to me. She doesn't follow any laws.
No,
And
she
then all
doesn't.
people, and this judge follows laws when it comes to me being $22,000 in arrears. How convenient for these judges, when it's convenient for them to follow the law and do it, but it's not convenient they don't. I mean,
Well, I think this is my thoughts on Morgan versus Morgan. Even if it's not in your state, it will be coming your way soon to your state, because other parents are going to appeal. And hey, if the other parent is not letting you see your child who wants to see you, then the child support should be suspended. And eventually that's going to happen, hopefully, of
oh,
course.
I know what I was going to say, Marianne. So I told her, I'm sorry, one more thing. The one thing I had told her before the hearing is that we need to tell the judge that this father is not letting me see my son. That, you know, and I thought that was very strong matter to mention to the judge, so that he could see that there's a pattern here.
That's a
Okay,
pattern. Yep, I've been
all
with
right.
you for how long? Yes.
Yeah, I mean, for example, oh, now he wants her to go to jail. He's not even letting her see the child. He's denying her visitation. I think those were great arguments. And you know what the attorney said? Oh no, we're not going to mention that you don't see your child, because you still have to pay child support even though you don't see your child. So we're not going to even go that route, Miss Dalton. And I said, what's all the money I spend on supervised visitation every time? Oh, well, we can mention that, but I said, but you, I'm not going to lie in the court under oath. You know, I was paying supervised visitation until the time I saw my son, which was the last time I saw him was what, close to 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. That one time I saw him, one time in 3 years. And
Dare
but
she
either,
say that?
so the thing is, I could only say that I was paying supervised visitation to the time I paid it, but then after that I didn't see him anymore. And she goes, well, we'll mention to the judge that you paid supervised visitation, like if you still are, because that's still in the order. And you need to show proof that, you know, receipts that you did supervised visitation. I said, okay, well then we're going to have to ask continuance, because I need to ask everybody that ever did my supervised visitation for receipts. So not only did we not have discovery from the father, we did not have the receipts that she was asking to defend the arrears, right? I mean, defend the fact that I paid supervised visitation. Also, she said she called the father's job to find out how he was, whether he was fired or he voluntarily left his work. I found a link in where he voluntarily left his job, and he actually put in there, I decided to leave my job and become a stay-home dad. How dumb of How dumb of them to put that on your LinkedIn, right? I thought that was dumb. But anyways, and a lot of his true colors came out in the courtroom. You know, he was showing, like, they would ask him questions like, oh, did you ever when you quit your job or when you left your job, did you apply for unemployment? And guess what he said? Oh, I don't remember. He just played the court. He was like showing his true lies. Anyways,
Yeah, they suddenly don't remember things when they're
yeah,
asked
I don't
directly.
remember. Like she would ask a question. He'd be like, "Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. Or what are you saying? I don't understand. Oh, my throat hurts. Can you repeat the question?" I mean, you just
You
you
know,
should have seen
if
it.
I was the judge hearing this, I would Say, okay, so you're not seeing the kid. He will, and he's doing the supervised visitation, and he discounts every supervisor that you want to use to see your child. And he wants you in jail so you can't see your child. So he's an alienator. Okay, I get that. And okay, there's a problem with this arrear. So you weren't there at that hearing and you have proof of that. So I'm just going to wash away the arrears and the child support. And I don't know if they can pull down another child custody hearing where you get full custody of your son because he does not deserve your son at all.
Well, the sad part about the custody, remember the child support is in Fairfax where I live,
Right,
but
right.
the child is in Alexandria where the father lives, and they won't let me transfer it because the child lives in Alexandria, right?
Okay, that's right.
So that judge, remember, she blocked me
Right.
until I do a psychological evaluation, not the father, only me.
And that's Judge Lisa Kemmler, right?
That's correct, her. And she says, I have to pay $8,000 to the father's attorney for bringing the father into court because, and then she had the nerve to say on transcript, I don't believe this father's violating the order, Miss Dalton. I don't believe you're not seeing your son, even though we had all the proof that I don't see my son. She says, I don't believe it.
I'm so sorry. Well, you
I
know what?
mean, and not only that, she's ruining another parent's life and another mother.
Yeah.
She's doing the same thing to her too. She put her on supervised visitation with the abuser.
Of course. Of course. And this is why I'm so glad I'm featuring you in my fourth book, Raised by These Wolves, Volume 2. And I'm so glad to have your story in there. And, you know, I'd like to have you come back on the podcast when you're ready to come back on. But, you know, how can people reach you? You seem to be in contact with a lot of people, you know, talking and being supportive of other people in your area. You know, how can people reach you if they have any questions after hearing this whole shebang?
Well, you can reach me on Facebook. What else? I'm on Instagram. I can send you those links. Messenger.
Or
I
they can
don't think
come through me too.
you.
They can come through me.
I mean, I have my email. I mean, I don't know. Do you need my phone number?
No, don't
No.
give me no, because then you'll have everybody calling you.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so sorry you are going through this. Is there anything else you'd
But
like to?
I'm so happy you're featuring me in your book. I
Oh.
am like so I'm so ecstatic and thrilled.
Well, you know, your case is so egregious. It's so filled with fraud. And to have these judges let this dingbat run the courtroom like a three-ring circus is kind of like what I went through. It's totally egregious. I'm very sorry that you have not even seen your son and that attorney didn't even care. What was her name?
Megan McRae.
Ugh.
No, she's saying that she can help me with if I do an appeal that she
Oh,
would
she's
do
the
it.
last person I'd have help me with an appeal. Oh my God. Oh no.
I mean, it's hard to go into the courtroom by yourself, and I feel like. But also my experience, Marianne, with all these attorneys, they never listen to me. They all work for the court.
Right.
I mean, all these years, the father has filed show cause and show cause to limit and take away all my time with my child and on hearsay, never on evidence. And every time I've mentioned to these attorneys, the one really violating the order is the father. They just said, oh no, you're going to be the great parent. You're never going to mention that he doesn't follow the order, and you're going to get more rights. You're going to get more time with your son because you're the good parent. And I'll never forget that judge was more into, I mean, more help. She liked more the parent who was actually trying to erase me out of the child's life.
Exactly.
And that's sad. I
It
mean, this
is.
is the way our courts run nowadays. They just.
I you know what, and when you say that, it's because I really think these judges are trying to ruin this nation from the inside out through the family to destroy the bonds between good, fit mothers and fathers.
Yeah, I have no history of any criminal history at all. I don't do anything. There's
Well,
no reason why.
it comes down to the Title IV defunding and this. I don't know what he is. He just doesn't want to work. And he wants to get even with you.
Yeah, and using jail time just to keep me away from asking. I think it bothers him every time. Because even though I don't see my kid, I still ask every other week, like the court order says, to see my son. He just
And
doesn't let that happen.
well, God is watching. Okay.
Another reason he doesn't follow the order anymore is because that judge in Alexandria has made it clear, look, you can do whatever you want. I'm not going to do anything to you.
And that's
I don't even believe the mother when she tells me you're not letting me see the child.
Judge Lisa Kemmler.
Yeah.
What a shame. I just, your case is so egregious.
But remember, she was also the judge for Lorena Bobbitt.
Interesting. Yeah. Oh my God. Well, hey, don't jump off, okay?
Okay.
Slam the Gavels, a podcast to help the public understand what really goes on in these family courtrooms. I am your host, Marianne Petry, author of Dismantling Family Court Corruption, Why Taking the Kids Was Not Enough, and Cry Out for Justice, Poems of Truth, and Raised by These Wolves, How Family and Federal Courts Are Failing Our Children. You can find me on Spotify, YouTube, Apple, iTunes, Anchor FM, iHeartRadio, and please feel free to buy me a coffee to help support this podcast. You can find that in the podcast notes. Thank you so much, Natalia Dalton. Thank you so
All
very
right,
much.
Catherine.